All right, well, as Herb had announced, our message today is Our Reasonable Service Part 3, our relationship to each other. And an important part of that relationship is to know and use your spiritual gifts, and we're actually going to get into the spiritual gifts today. I know it's been a long time coming. Two parts of the lesson leading up to this, and this is going to be the climax and the crescendo as far as spiritual gifts. And then next week, we get into the fruit of the Spirit as we look at love. So looking forward to that as well. But in love, we'll use our gifts. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, You have given us Your good work to do from the foundation of the world. And You not only have given it to us, You have enabled us by the fruit of the Spirit in love to use them as You would desire. But You also empower us with the dunamis, the dynamic, dynamite, dynamo type power that comes from the Holy Spirit to do this work. It's not anything that we can do in and of ourselves. It's done by Your Spirit coming upon us and giving us the power to do Your will, to do Your work, to fulfill the hope of our calling. Just as You've given us the enablement of the Spirit, the resurrection power of the Spirit, to live a life holy and acceptable to You. So we thank You for this. And Father, we just pray that You open up Your word today. I pray as this message is given that the Spirit that resides in us is instructing us. By the end of this service, that Your Spirit will come upon us and the hope of the calling for each and every person will be made known to them. And so we lift this up to You. And I pray that I get out of the way, that Christ is magnified, that You are glorified, and that Your will is done in all of this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to be in Romans 12, 6 through 8. So if you want to go ahead and turn there. So now as we continue on with this lesson about our reasonable service and fellowship, we saw last week we're all in this together as the family of God. And thus we learned a fourth general principle regarding fellowship. So we first had learned about humble yourself as grace is given to the humble and God resists the proud. Secondly, we learned that a principle is to be clear-minded and vigilant so that when we see sin on others, we'll ask God to search our own soul and see if He was making that known to us so that we could ask to be cleansed of that ourselves. Then third, principle of fellowship is to use the measure of faith God has given us. And then last week we saw that the fourth principle is that we belong to each other as God's family in Christ Jesus, as each one of us is a member of His body, and thus we each have a specific function to perform in His church. In this church, you have a specific function to perform, as there is no part that is along for a free ride. What do we call those free riders, those freeloaders? What did Arnold Schwarzenegger say, you guys from California? It's not a tumor. Any free rider we have is a tumor. Because every part of the body that is normally in the body is used for a specific purpose. Only things that come along and attach themselves and sucks off the body is a free rider, like a tumor. All right? So we have no tumors in this church. We have God-fearing men and women, and each person has a gift to contribute so that we are all made whole in Christ. So we're all in this together. Amen? So that's what we've learned over the last couple weeks. So today we're going to learn about the fifth general principle of fellowship. Guess what the number five represents? The number of grace. And we see that these gifts are given by the grace of God. And that's going to be our focus today, is how by the grace of God we have the power not only to live a resurrected life as enabled by Him, but also His Spirit comes upon us and gives us that dynamic power, the gifting, the spiritual gifting to fulfill the hope of the calling He has for each and every one of our lives. So that's a wonderful gift. Wonderful gifts of grace that we're given. Grace is not just the forgiveness of sin. It's the power by which we live. The resurrection power and the dynamic power, the dynamite power. It's explosive, as well as the dynamo power. It doesn't run out, that God gives us to fulfill the hope of His calling. And while our bodies may grow tired as Jesus needed rest, His Spirit kept on going. And though our flesh is weak, as we are empowered by the Holy Spirit with His gifts, we will continue on. The grace of God, persevering to finish the work that He has for us to do. Right? What did Jesus say? He says, my nourishment is completing the work God has given me. That should be our nourishment as well, because man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God, including knowing and using your spiritual gifts. So, today we're going to learn how we are to know and use our God-given spiritual gifts, and this facilitates us growing together as the body, or the church, into the head, which is Jesus Christ, and serving one another in love. And that's what being conformed is all about. How we can love the Lord with all our heart, mind, strength, and soul, and love one another as we love ourselves or as Christ loved the church. So, you see, it is a family affair. The spiritual gifts differ in accordance with the grace given to each one of us. So, as a review and tie-in, let's read 12:3 through 8, and then we'll focus on verses 6 through 8. So, the Word says, let me get there. For I say, through the grace given to me, says Paul, to every one who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortations, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. By the measure of faith given by God, know your spiritual gifts that you've received by grace and use them as led, enabled, and empowered by His Holy Spirit. That's what our life's about. This is our reasonable service. This is what God expects from us, as then we'll prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. If you're not using your spiritual gifts, you don't know what God's perfect will is for your life. Because He's got a calling for you to do. And it's more than just raising your family. It's raising up the body of Christ in some way and furthering His kingdom. Though certainly a big part of that is your family, your physical family. But don't forget about the spiritual family. So we are to use these spiritual gifts that are given to glorify Him, to serve the whole body and not the individual. So may we humbly use them to build up one another as members of the body, edify one another. And it's vital that we know what they are and how we discover our gifts. So we're going to talk about that today. What are the gifts? How to discover what they are? And then we're also going to talk about how we're going to use them. But we always want to remember that fellowship or koinonia, which means belonging to one another, is a key component of our relationship with Christ. It's a key component of our relationship. Fellowship is a key component to your relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus did not mean for you to sit at home on the computer and watch these services. He didn't mean for you to get on your iPhone and hear iPodcasts and for you to sit at home and not to be in fellowship. He means for each person who is in Christ to be in fellowship, because we're meant to go through all this together. Because after all, remember like I said last week, the whole world is against us. Our own flesh is against us. Satan is against us. So why wouldn't we come together where we can love on one another, encourage one another to get through this dark and dying world, and benefit from the gifts and the love that God has given each one of us as the body of Christ? And you know, with a body this size, each person is that much more important, because each person serves such a larger part of the body, if you will. So it's important that we come together on a weekly basis to encourage and to love one another and to share our spiritual gifts as God would provide with each other. So Ephesians 4:15 through 16 says, "But speaking the truth in love, may we grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. You want to grow in Christ? Then come to fellowship and you'll grow as we edify each other in the love of Christ, building each other up. Amen? Hallelujah. So that's what fellowship's about. That's what the gifts of the Spirit is to be used for. And if we have the love of Christ, remember, you can't love the head without loving the body. That's what Jesus says. That's what John said in 1 John. You can't love Christ and hate the body, right? Don't want to come in and be in fellowship. Oh, they're just a bunch of hypocrites. Well, look who's talking. And we're not hypocrites as we don't have that sin nature anymore. We have a divine nature. And though we stumble, He picks us up and puts us on the path again. All right, so let's go ahead and look at verse 6 through 8, verse by verse. And so, to have true fellowship, you must know and use your spiritual gifts. Having then gifts, as it says in verse 6, differing according to the grace that is given to you, let us use them. The Holy Spirit has distributed gifts according to God's will. These are spiritual gifts, and they're done to accomplish the work that He has planned. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are His workmanship, His poema, His masterpieces, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." So God has prepared good works for us to do, to walk in them. What does it mean to walk in them? It means to walk in Christ, following Him. The Holy Spirit will lead us to use the gifts that we have discovered that are from God to help the body of Christ grow and edify itself. And you will be blessed in all of this. You will be matured in this, but just as importantly, the rest of the body will grow and be matured in this love of Christ by the Spirit of God working into and through each and every one of us. He's prepared this good work for us to do from the beginning of time, from the foundation of the world. He's given us these to do. So we walk in them as we walk in Christ as a member of His body, loving one another. So it goes on to say, of prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Here's that faith thing again. What's faith stand for as an acronym? Father, ask, I trust Him. Trust who? Trust Him who sent His Son. Trust His Son who has given His life for us and is our high priest. And to trust the Holy Spirit who lives in us and will come upon us to give us the spiritual gifts. If you do not believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you're not trusting in the Holy Spirit to do the sanctifying work's main functions. And that is to prepare you to receive gifts and to be empowered then to go forth and fulfill the calling God has for you. Trust God. You trust His Son, you're calling yourselves Christians. Trust the Holy Spirit and for His power to come upon you and to walk forward. And I know that the gifts of the Spirit have been so portrayed to be misused, and where people are, their hands are laid on them, they're slain in the Spirit, so to speak, and they fall on the floor and they flop like fish and they start mumbling and all this stuff. Hey, who's that bringing attention to? Themselves. And I would say that with a discerning spirit, a lot of that's not from God. It's from man themselves, and we'll talk about that. It's because you would think, since we know that it's given by grace, that we wouldn't bring attention to ourselves, but it's that flesh again, right? And some people use it to profit themselves instead of the whole body, but yet I digress. Just remember that advertisement says, as seen on TV, right? Well, we don't want to use our spiritual gifts as seen on TV. We want to use them as seen in the Bible, humbly, responsibly, faithfully, putting Christ first, and may He receive all the glory. Prophesy in proportion to our faith. When God gives you something biblical to share with someone, do so in the measure of faith given to you. In other words, if God has given you something to say to somebody in this body and you've prayed about it, you know how you're continually in prayer and He's given you something to say, it's like, oh, I don't know if I should say this. Do it. Just do it. Say it. and let God take care of it from there. But may it always be, and we know it always be, if it's from God, it's going to be, number one, done in love. Number two, it's going to build the person up. And number three, it's going to be totally biblical. When those three is missing, you know it's not from God. It's from your flesh. And then it's like, oh, well, I guess I blew that one. You know, that's what repentance is all about. But God will lead you. Let God lead you. Don't think it's your part, as we've talked about, to point out everybody else's sin and say, well, I really need to talk to you, brother or sister, and, you know, I see this in your walk and all that. We don't do that here because we're all stumbling. You know? So we're all in this together. But there's so many people that become so self-righteous, they've walked off the highway of righteousness themselves. Amen? Because they're too busy looking at everybody else's sin instead of their own. And that's what we have warned about, and I won't dwell on that any longer here on this message, as we've talked about it in depth in the previous messages. So, prophesy. If God's giving you a word, and when you prophesy, it doesn't mean you have to talk about the future. Oh, thus saith the Lord, you know, that you're going to do this and do that. Though God does give you those things if you have the gift of prophecy. But the gift of prophecy is speaking the word, the Bible, into someone's life as God would give it to you. That's prophesying. Prophesying what? God has already given through the apostles to speak into someone's life. That's prophecy. Just as much as prophecy is being able to speak the future as God would give it. But I think today we miss the point of speaking the words of the Bible into people and quit worrying about the future, because God's got the future handled. Amen? But that can also happen, as we're going to get into calling, speaking into someone's life, that God has given them a word, a prophecy, saying what a person's calling may be. And that happens when someone has a gift of prophecy. In fact, my wife had a gift of prophecy, I believe. She would always know when one of our two daughters was pregnant or someone else was pregnant. It's like she'd get this dream or premonition or something, and she'd go, "You're pregnant." And they're like, "Oh, I don't think so." And then they go to the doctor, and guess what? Whoop, there it is. Anyway, pressing on. Do so in the measure of faith given to you. Or ministry. Let us use it in our ministering. What use it? What's it mean? In ministry, let us use it. It. Let us use faith in our ministering. If ministry, what is that? But serving. Serving the body of Christ. If you've been called to be a deacon, so to speak, and to wait on people in the church, you know, to serve the people of the church like a waiter or whatever. What do you need today? Or how can I help you? That kind of thing. To serve this body during our formal services and those kind of things. Do so in faith. Go forward in faith. And don't confuse that with helps. That's something different. That's going to be done on your own time, so to speak. In your own homes and those kind of things. But when you're called to serve the church, it's like Herb's been called to serve today with the announcements and with the the opening remarks. Be ready to serve. And 1 Timothy says, be prepared when? In season and out of season. To serve, if that's your calling. He who teaches, use faith in teaching. And use these spiritual gifts in faith to teach. Verse 7. And he who exhorts, in exhortation. Verse 8. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Cheerfully. Give cheerfully. And all these gifts are equally important. So, we see here we have prophecy, we have ministry or service, we have teaching, we have exhortation, we have giving, we have leadership, we have the gift of mercy, all spelled out here, at least addressed. And I'm going to get to these a little later and give a little more information on each one. But the bottom line is all these gifts are equally important to the body. You can't just have the mouth. You got to have the hands. You got to have the feet. You got to have, you know, the different parts of the body in order for it to function properly, just like this church has to have its different parts of the body functioning normally. All right, so let's look at the purpose of these spiritual gifts that we've just touched on. Let's go to Ephesians 4:11 through 16. Ephesians 4:11. Through 16, and see what it says about the purpose of these gifts. And then it'll also give us some more information about gifts. So Ephesians 4:11. And it says, "And he, Jesus, And Jesus himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Notice it's that every part of the body does its fair share so that the whole body can edify itself in love. Edify itself and grow into the head, which is Jesus Christ. It's not just the apostles. It's not just the pastors. It's not just the evangelists. It's not just the teachers. It's all of us working together so we can be complete as a body and grow together in the love of Christ, complete in him as we're all in this together. Amen? That's what it's about. It's not about just you. It's never just about you. It's always about you and what God has for everybody else that he brings into your life. It's your family. It's your neighbors. It's your fellowship here. It's your workplace. It's whatever, wherever God leads you. That's what it's about. Because we're to be his witnesses. And witnesses come before the people. You can't just witness to yourself. You're not a witness if you're by yourself. You're an individual. You may give a testimony to yourself, but God wants you to give that testimony to the world, the dark and dying world, so that they may have what you have, life in Christ Jesus. And the promise then of the Spirit, both to live in them and to come upon them, so they too may be complete in Christ. Hallelujah. The church, having read that, we can see as a living, growing, and loving spiritual organism. It's alive. It's alive in Christ Jesus. And true fellowship, is koinonia, as we know now, means we're all members of one another. We're all in this together. And it's depicted as Christ's body. So when someone's missing on Sunday, the whole church suffers for it. As by design, that person had a special gift to give to the body that day. All right, a lot of times God wants to bring you, but we make up an excuse. I don't feel good, or I don't want to do this, or, I really don't want to hear that message today, or you get in a fight with your wife or your spouse or whatever, and it's like you end up not going. Well, God brought you to this church to participate. Don't let the flesh keep you from coming. Now, I understand work schedules and those kind of things, but every opportunity that God gives you, may you be in sweet fellowship. Otherwise, not only are you missing out by the love and the spiritual gifts of others, but you're missing out on giving what God had for you to give to this body. You're a giver and not just a receiver. As we're all knit together in God's love and we are to grow up in Christ by what each joint supplies, and Christ himself, as we read, Christ himself has established functions within the church for each one of us to do. As this is what Paul called in Ephesians, the hope of our calling. The hope. What does the hope mean? Hope means something's going to happen in the future. That means you're going to complete the calling God has given you. You have faith for today to use your gifts to fulfill the hope that God had for you when he created you. Is God ever going to fail in that hope? Absolutely not. Can we hinder the hope that God has given us? Yeah, we can hinder it by us getting in the way. But he knows the beginning from the end. And though we may hesitate, as Abraham waited 25 years before he left his family, and then he took his nephew Lot with him when he's supposed to leave the whole family. Lot caused nothing but trouble. Till he separated from Lot, only then did he get the next part of the Abrahamic covenant. It says, all the land that is before you, Abraham, I give this to you, the land of Canaan. Before that, God only told him there was a promise to receive some land. But when they were sitting there in the plains of Canaan, and he says, Lot, you go your way, I'll go my way, you pick your part, and I'll just take what's left. Where did Lot go? Because he's a picture of the flesh? Sodom and Gomorrah. But God still protected him because he was a righteous man. Not that he wasn't in sin, but that he loved God. And he was going to protect him from that sin. But Abraham, what did he get? When he was obedient, the grace that God was waiting to give him. The gift of the land that no one will ever take away from them. That land is for them today. Because that's one of the promises of the Abrahamic covenant, that you will have that land forever, including through the millennial rule. So don't worry about Israel. Pray for Israel. But that land's going to be theirs to the end. And I don't mean the end of just man's reign on earth. I'm talking about the end when Christ rules and we get a new heaven and a new earth. Hallelujah. But it says to pray for Israel. And we do. Having said all that, the hope of our calling, you know, that's what we want to fulfill. As Jesus says, my nourishment is finishing the work that God gave me to do. When did he finish his work? On the cross. He says it is finished. Totelestai. Paid in full. Done. Complete. Fini. Well, we want to be able to say the same thing in the Spirit. My nourishment is finishing the work God has given me to do. That's the hope of the calling that we have. And that's the passion you'll have in your life. Having said all that, that's why I get out of joint, so to speak, since every joint's knit together, right, in the body. That's why I get out of joint, so to speak, when people don't come every week. Because right? It makes me wonder, what did we miss this week from them? And what did they miss from God that God had for them in the body of Christ as far as the Word of God that comes forth? Using me as a mouthpiece, Father, but it's always given by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our rabbi. And so then, I wonder what we're all missing from God because that person or family wasn't here to perform their bodily function, whatever that function may be. And we all suffer a little for it. As you see, as I said, a lot of people think it's only what they can receive from church that's important. Well, that's not how you grow. If you're just a taker, you're not going to grow in Christ. God gives people a giving heart. Giving to the point of sacrifice from the standpoint of being a living sacrifice. Giving of yourself. Dying to self. Remember joy. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. Joy is an acronym. That's what it means to live as to be a living sacrifice, I should say. But what God has planned, equipped, and leads you to give is equally important. As it keeps the whole body functioning properly. And you know, what's important for us to realize is Satan doesn't need to make you wallow in depravity. All he needs to do is impede your relationship with Christ. And having you fall out of fellowship does this. As our fellowship is in Christ Jesus, in His body, doing our part in Him. Because what did John say in 1 John 1:3? He says, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us. Truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So when we are here in fellowship together, since Christ lives in each one of us, we are having fellowship not just with each other, but we are having fellowship with the Father through His Son who lives in each and every one of us. And we're doing our part as the body of Christ by being here. And then following the Holy Spirit as He would lead while we are here. Always done in love, which is the fruit of the Spirit. Very important. And Hebrews warned, don't fall out of fellowship as many have done. What does Satan want to do? What is happening to the world today? What's happening to this generation that is coming up today, the millennials? Is they are isolating themselves. They're on their iPhones. I've heard stories where they go on a date, so to speak, and they're sitting at a table, and instead of talking, they'll text one another. I'm surprised they even come together at a table. No wonder the birth rate's going down. You can't get that through texting. But well, no, you still got to be there. But the point is, holy matrimony needs to come first in all of that. pressing on. Yet I digress. The point being, just like that coal in a fire, right? You have these coals that are burning. And you take one and you set it out to the side. What happens to that coal? That piece of charcoal fades and grows cold. But you keep it together in the fire that's constantly being stoked with the pneuma, right? The Holy Spirit, the wind of God, the breath of God Himself, the Holy Spirit, the Ruma, breathed upon us. The Holy Spirit Himself fanning the flames that is in each and every one of our hearts as Christ is formed in us. That's what causes our minds to be transformed, because we focus on God, on Christ, and not on the things of this world. That flame is fanned so that we then have it in our heart to go forward in faith and use the gifts of the Spirit as God would desire us to. You know, as I say, refiner's fire, we're refined by the fire. Anyway, fan the flames. And when we come together prayerfully, those flames are fanned by the fellowship and the relationship we have with each other. Satan don't need to have you wallow in depravity. And you know, when we start looking at our sin and we think, oh, well, look how I didn't sin today, or look, I didn't, you know, I was tempted, but I didn't do it. We start getting puffed up with ourselves and we think, oh, I'm doing pretty good. No, we're not. Only in Christ are we doing well. And Christ wants us together as the body. We're to edify or build up the body till we all come to the unity of the faith. The unity of the faith. When you're in Christ Jesus, you're in union with Christ Jesus. Then we're brought to the unity of faith, since we're all in union, one accord with Christ Jesus. That's what it means to come to the unity of faith. We will come as one accord, together as the family of God, to the unity of faith, to the perfect man, the stature or status of Jesus Christ Himself. Say, oh, I can't be perfect. No, but you can be perfected. Your heart can be perfect. How do you get your heart perfect? By asking God to make it perfect. By having Christ formed in you. David certainly wasn't perfect, but his heart was, because he was a man after God's own heart. He loved God with all his heart, mind, strength, and soul, though his flesh caused him to stumble. Now, David had to go through a lot of discipline from time to time, because God had big plans for that man. Well, He has big plans for each and every one of us. We can't even conceive, you know, what God wants to do in us. He has plans to prosper us and not to harm us. We can have that perfect heart. And you know, I was reading that in Andrew Murray's collection. Remember, I tell you, I'm going through that 21 works of his. Andrew Murray, a South African missionary. He talks about the perfect life. And I've been trying it. It talks about, every time I would get tempted this last couple of weeks, or last week, I'll just say this last week, whenever a thought would come to my mind, remember how Greg Laurie says, you know, hold every thought captive. You can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can keep it from nesting there. I won't use hair because that's a bad example for me. But anyway, pressing on. So every time I'd have a thought come to my mind, it says, you know, pray to have that perfect heart. And what is the perfect heart but just knowing Christ is formed in you? I would pray, Lord, I have a perfect heart. Let this go. And you know what? He takes it away. You don't have to dwell on it. I mean, sometimes you get this mind about in the past things happened and all this. And it's like, Lord, I have a perfect heart. Take this away. And you know what? God does take it away. So maybe that can be your prayer too. Lord, I have Christ formed in me. Give me that perfect heart. I know that my actions aren't going to be perfect, but I know You see me as being perfected in Christ. May I live in that perfection starting now and continuing on. Give me that perfect heart. And what's that do? Cleanse your mind. So I speak from experience here. So use it as God wills in your life. Pressing on. As new creations, we're being brought to the unity of faith, to the perfect man, and He is who we grow up to be like. We grow up into the head. We want to be like Christ. We want to imitate Christ, and we want to imitate those who are imitating Christ, because we can't see Christ physically, but He can give people in our lives who portray Christ more and more in their life. I pray each and every person here would be an imitator of Christ so that when you need encouragement, you can look at each other and say, hey, that's an example of what I want to do, how I want to live. He stumbled and look how quick he got restored. Or, you know, this happened in his life, but they still have the joy of the Lord, whatever it may be. Or a person's living in pain, but look how strong they've become in Christ. Or whatever it is, use them as your picture of Christ to strengthen you, because that's what fellowship is about. He didn't intend for us to be physically alone, though we are spiritual creatures. He gave us this earthen vessel as his holy temple, but together we are a building of God, not built with hands, but built by the Spirit, each one doing the part. So each one is a holy temple for Christ, and us together is the building of God that he's building on this earth. Each one's a stone of that temple, built on the rock. As Peter's name meant, little pebble. May we be like Peter and be a little pebble built on the rock. Jesus Christ. May we share the truth and love and have the abundant life of giving ourselves to one another as we go alongside and help each other in the way. So we have the way, the truth, and the life of Jesus Christ as living sacrifices, and we're being made holy and acceptable to God, which is being sanctified as we are sanctified in Him with a consecrated life, as we're all being perfected in His love through faith, and we're dependent upon one another in all of this, with every part doing its share, causing growth of the body, edifying itself in the love of God. So, your responsibility, response to the love of God and the ability He gives you as a member of this body, is to discover the spiritual gifts given to you, and to help you discover these, and also in order to establish His churches, as stated in Ephesians 4:11 through 12, Christ has called some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastor teachers, which is just different from a teacher, but there's pastor teachers as well. So prophets, some are called to be prophets, to speak the word of God into people's lives, to give direction needed, the direction needed to discover your calling. God will use a gift of prophecy, someone to speak into your life and tell you what your gift is, possibly. Evangelists, to speak forth or to preach the gospel message to bring people into the family of God. Pastor teachers, they have a specific function to disciple and to grow people in Christ by teaching the word and loving and caring for His flock. And it must be duly noted that these are no more or less important than the other spiritual gifts identified that Paul has given us. Because these are all speaking gifts, and thus could all be considered associated with being the mouth of the body. And we can't just live having a mouth, right? You got to have all the rest of the parts of the body. But so let's look at the mouth. The prophet being the lips to pronounce to you the calling of God, which is the kiss of God upon your life. So a prophet can may actually give you the kiss of God or the calling that God has for you in your life. The evangelist being the tongue that articulates the gospel truth, so people may taste and see it as good. The pastor being the teeth, not to bite you. Like sometimes people think I do. No. But the teeth that take bite-sized pieces of the word and make it understandable to you. But these gifts are no more important than ministering to one another or serving one another, which would be the hands. They're no more important than exhorting each other, which would be the arms lifting each other up. So the mouth is no more important than the hands that would serve you, or the arms that would lift you up, encouraging you and exhorting you, or having the gift of mercy, the knees that bow down to help you spiritually when you're bereaved or don't know what to do and are grieving in that sin or whatever it may be, or the death of a loved one. Or the gift of giving, the eyes that see the needs of the church and that give financially to meet those needs. Or of leadership, the brains of the outfit that organizes and administrates the activities and business of the church. So these are all important for the body. There's other gifts that we're going to get into, and they're divided into speaking and serving gifts, and I'm going to get into those in just a minute. How do we get these gifts? And how do we know what they are? This is going to be our application, really. The difference and distribution of gifts is all due, as we've read, to the grace of God that is given to us. Thus, spiritual gifts aren't given on the basis of merit, but all because God chooses to give them to you. This idea is related to the ancient Greek word for spiritual gifts. What's the Greek word for spiritual gifts? Charismata. Where we get the word charismatic. Or as Chuck Smith calls it, charismania. These people will use their spiritual gifts instead of giving God the glory because it's been given by grace. They'll bring attention to themselves, as I talked about, and that's charismania. Charismatic is someone who is speaking by the grace of God or doing their gift or using the gift God has given them for the glory of God, for the edifying of the body in love and building each other up. That's how you tell the difference. Is it charismania or is it charismata? It's easy to tell. Whose attention being brought to? Christ or themselves? And you see this gifts of the Spirit. This is drawing attention that these are gifts of grace. And Paul uses this term charismata to emphasize that the giving of these gifts are all by grace and not because you are so holy, so mature, or deserving of them. In fact, that's what happened to the Corinthian church. They had these gifts before they were mature enough to use them, and it caused a lot of problems. So don't think when you have a gift or if you have a gift is because you're so godly, you're so holy, or that you deserve it. No, it's because God had a plan for you and He's going to give it to you and you're going to grow into it if you're not already there already. That's why we don't want to lay hands on people too soon and raise them up in the body until we see what their gifts are and that they have the responsibility to use them appropriately. Because it can lead people away from Christ and lead themselves into pride. Amen. Spiritual gifts are given at the discretion of the Holy Spirit, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing each one individually as He wills. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 12:4 through 12. I'm going to run a little long today, but I want to finish up these verses. Is that all right? You hanging in there, Amanda? All right. I put the baby to sleep. It looks like the rest of the flock. All right. 1 Corinthians 4:12. We're going to learn about these spiritual gifts. And it says, there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So we read that before. So it's meant for us to use them for everyone's benefit. For to one is given the word of wisdom. God would give you the ability when somebody has a problem or an issue that you could give them a word of wisdom and it would just be the perfect resolution to that problem and it would be biblically based. Word of wisdom, using God's wisdom for them to make a decision that's going to be just right for their life, righteous for their life. To another, the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge is God may give you a fact, a personal fact. I'm going to run long, son. A personal fact about somebody to help them understand that God is faithful. You may walk up to somebody if you have the gift of knowledge, and it comes and goes, and God may give you an insight into their life that only you, only they and you would know, and you would share that with someone, and that will help them have faith in the Lord, and you can then help them through whatever situation they're in as led by the Lord. So, for example, you walk up to a stranger, and just want to share this with you, the Lord has given me that you're getting ready to move and you're really concerned about that move. And I just want to share with you, God has a plan for your life and He's got it all set up for you. So just rest in Him. Now that's not a word of knowledge, but that's prophecy. That's speaking from the Word. So rest in Him. All right, because I already knew you were moving. But I mean, it may be a stranger. But that's what the difference is between knowledge and wisdom. Wisdom is problem solving, like counselors have the gift of wisdom. Well, if they're real spiritual counselors. Knowledge is knowing a fact that nobody else may know. The other is faith. Gift of faith. You say, well, we all have faith. Yeah, but there's some that have a special gift of faith given to them so they can be a martyr. So that they can stand and witness and be burned to death, so to speak, glorifying God. That would take a special gift of faith coming upon you to be able to do that. gifts of healing, we know what that is. To another, working of miracles, loaves and fishes, multiplying things miraculously. All right, it was an example of working miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. That would be able to tell whether it's from God or from the enemy. Right? You know, like this. Oh, I got this new thing I want to try in church. It's called holy laughter. Out of here! You know, the experiment said, no, that's not from the Lord. Holy laughter, laying on the floor, barking like a dog. To another, different kinds of tongues, speaking in tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Herb, would you be my lovely assistant, please? I'm going to show you what happens when hands are laid on you. No, come here. Well, as a kid, my mom used to lay hands on me all the time. That wasn't a gift, I don't think. But you had those. It was the flesh that did it, right? Of course, these days they give them timeouts. All right, so as we look at this Gifts of the Spirit handout, we see that there's two main categories of spiritual gifts, speaking gifts on the left, serving gifts on the right, but all are meant to glorify God the Father, whose will our calling fulfills. He is glorified through His Son, who we follow as called to do, and hence the Holy Spirit distributes these gifts and is the power or the dunamis. In Greek, the word means dunamis, where we get the word dynamic, where we get the word dynamite, where we get the word dynamo from. So this dunamis power is dynamic. Whatever the situation calls for, you'll have the power to do it. It is explosive. It's like dynamite. It can change people's lives as you speak into their lives with these gifts or do whatever God has for you with these gifts. And it is like a dynamo. They never run out because it's from God, not from ourselves. So though we may be weak in the flesh, He's strong in the Spirit, and the power of the Spirit will be strong as we can do all things in Christ who strengthens us. As the Spirit then would come upon us. Remember, there's three things the Holy Spirit does. He comes alongside of us to convict us. The Greek word for that is para. The Holy Spirit, as soon as we're converted, lives in us. That's the Greek word in, E-N. And then He comes upon us, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Also says the overflowing of the Spirit. So when the Spirit comes upon us, that's epi. That's the gift of the Spirit. The empowerment of the Spirit. So we have para, and we're converted by the grace of God through faith that He gives us. The Holy Spirit then lives in us, and we're enabled by the fruit of the Spirit to live a life in the resurrection power of God. And then we have the empowerment or the anointing of the Spirit that comes upon us, and He gives us gifts, epi, to do the work He would desire us to do. And each person in the body has that to fulfill the hope of their calling given by God. Jesus says in Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, when the Holy Spirit, epi, comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Jesus Himself said, you're going to have this. So, I already went over these gifts, and I also put down there 2 Peter 1:3 about His divine power. Gives us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him. Well, now you know also that part of that divine power is His spiritual gifts to use as He would desire you to. All we need for life and godliness. The enablement inside of us and the empowerment that comes upon us. So our application, how do you get these gifts and how do you know what they are? Jesus said we get these gifts through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this is important. Acts 1:5 said before, 1:8, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Remember the day of Pentecost. They were baptized with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon them, epi, and they spoke in tongues. And that was necessary for all the people that were around them from these different places to understand the glory of God, as they were speaking in tongues that they should have never been able to speak, but that showed the power of God as a witness. It doesn't mean that everybody that is converted is going to speak in tongues. In fact, Paul said, does everyone speak in tongues? Does everyone have interpretation of tongues? Does everyone have prophecy? Of course, the answer, that was a rhetorical question, is no. So you may or may not have the gift of tongues, but God has a gift for you. So it's the baptism of the Spirit. However, many people today live enabled by the Spirit's indwelling, but fail to realize the need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, to become a member of the body of Christ and fulfill the function that God has for you. You are baptized with water into the body, and then you're given power to function in that body as God would desire you to. Two different things: baptized with water, baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, when I do a water baptism, I also lay hands on the people that I baptize and ask for the Holy Spirit to come upon them and give them the gifting that God would desire. Many people fail to realize that they need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Paul took appropriate action once he found out Apollos hadn't done so in the church of Ephesus, as they were only baptized in water, John's baptism. In fact, Acts 19:6 says, when he found out Apollos was only teaching about water baptism, not being baptized in the Holy Spirit, it says, and when Paul had laid hands on him, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. So the bottom line is when Paul found out that these members of the church of Ephesus who sat under Apollos had no idea about the gifts of the Spirit, he says, what baptism did you learn about? He said, oh, the baptism of John, being baptized in water. What did he do to those people? Laid hands on them and asked for them to be baptized in the Spirit. I'm going to do that today for anyone who wants to be baptized in the Holy Spirit so that you may know your gifts. Well, first of all, receive the gifts and to know the gifts that God has for you. That's where we're at right now. Because it may be when you were baptized that God gave you the gift of the Spirit, but you need a faith trigger for that gift to be made known to you. So I'm going to lay hands on those who want to be baptized in the Spirit, and then God will tell you, He will show you what the hope of your calling is, because guess what? He will make that your passion. You don't have to take a test, although there's some tests out there, you can see what your gifts are and all that, but I'm telling you, when you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit, and different times you get the hands laid on you for different things. I went into the missionary field, I had the hands laid on me. I went in to become an elder. The hands were laid on me. And I was raised up to, if you will, to be an elder. And then I was raised up to be a pastor teacher. So there's different times you get different gifting depending on what God has for you at that point in your life. Amen? But it's important that we all understand that it's a gift from God. It's by grace. It doesn't matter how holy or how deserving you think you are. In fact, just get all that thought out of your mind. Just realize God has a gifting for each and every one of you. And so I pray by faith, whoever's never been baptized with the Holy Spirit or is ready to be raised up to another level in their walk, that they will allow me to pray with them and pray for them after this prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You. We praise You. We love You and we adore You. And Father, we know that those can be just words, but Father, I pray that we demonstrate the love we have for You by each person in this body who has not received the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit as far as spiritual gifts are concerned, that they would stand in faith and come forward and have hands laid on them. And may, as I pray with them and for them, may the power of Your Holy Spirit come upon them, and may You make that power known to them as they continue in their walk with You. And so we thank You for this message. We thank You for Your love. And we thank You for the promise. And we know that this promise is for today and for all who are called, just as it says in Acts 2:38-39. It isn't just for the apostles, but it's for each and every one of us. Because Your promise is that the Holy Spirit will give us enablement, which lives inside of us, and the resurrection power. He lives inside of us and we have the resurrection power. And that Your power will come upon us dynamically. With dynamo perseverance as well as explosive results. And so we thank You for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.